When I went in World War II, I was in 1942, 16th day of February, I believe it was. They'll come out 11th day of November 1945, and I spent 22 months in a frontline unit. Well, say the last 10 months I was over, I was in service company where they broke down rations and everything. So they sent me back home. I was sitting over there with 185 point, and they were letting people come home on point system in. The way the point system come in, they give you so many points for every major battle you was in, and I was in 7 different major battles. And they give you so many points for every month you was in there, and how many. Anyway, well, I wound up at about 185 points. And they let me come home, and I wound up in New York Harbor. I landed in New York Harbor. It took us 11 days to come back on the boat. And I went through New York Harbor, and they taken us out into New York, and then I caught the train from there and come back to Anniston, Alabama. And they discharged me at Anniston, Alabama, and I come home. And I left them up there, and I was discharged the 11th day of November 1945. That was Armistice Day. Anyway, I was gone practically, I'd say between, well, I was 42, 43, 44, and 45, and nearly about 4 solid years, and I was gone from Tallahassee.
You got a couple of Purple Hearts while you were over there?
A couple of Purple Hearts. I got wounded twice, well, actually 3 times, but wasn't either one of them over 1.5 or 2 inches. I got shot in the hip, and the other time a piece of scrap stuck me in my hand, and they gave me a Purple Heart for each one of them. After I got back home, well, I turned around and joined the National Guard. And I was discharged out of the National Guard when I was 60 years old.
How old were you when you first went overseas?
19 years old. Well, I went in Texas. I left from here and went to Anniston, Alabama. And when I went to Anniston, Alabama, they sent me to Camp Swift, Texas. But my basic training stayed out there 6 weeks. They sent me overseas for me. And anyway, I was overseas in the last part of 42, 43, 44, all of 43 and all of 44.
Talk about where you went.
Well, I landed in Oran, Africa. And they take me up there and put me on a boxcar. Well, we stayed there about a week. I was in the ocean when they made the invasion. 36th Division made the invasion in Italy, and I turned around and went from Italy to Sicily, from Sicily to France, and from France into Germany. I wound up in Austria when the war ended in 1945. And after the war ended and everything, they come back and started letting us come home. I seen mighty near everything in Italy. Seen mighty near all of France. I've been to Paris 2 different times. I never did get to Berlin, but I got in less than 5 miles from Berlin when they detoured us and we went around it. I was in Rome when we liberated Rome. I was one of them that went in Rome and liberated Rome. And after we left there, pulled us back and we made the invasion in southern France. And that's where I went from southern France on up into Austria, just first one thing in the other. I had a tough time, and I was in the infantry division for 22 months. And I had my feet froze. I don't know how you explain it all. I get nervous and everything when I go to talking about it a lot.
You say you pretty much marched the whole way, you're on foot almost the entire time.
I practically walked 22,000 miles. We walked from Africa to everywhere we went, we walked. Of course, it was after we got in southern France, we started riding on trucks. And, well, I was in a combat unit. And we went in southern France, and I was rolling in a Jeep with a 450 caliber machine gun on that Jeep. That combat platoon, they call it, we had four Jeeps, and we always went out in front, head of the division, and every time we'd run into something, well, then we'd call back and they'd move the division up. It was just like jumping from pillar to post. Sometimes we'd cover about three towns in a day's time. Sometimes we didn't get to cover about one town. Yeah, we'd come back off and repeat a river in Italy. Well, the creek, the river wasn't much wider than this strong creek down here below my house. It was 30 foot deep before I went down 30 foot. I was a BAR man in that and went on over on the other side. There was in these rubber boats and they turned the boat. The boat turned over that I was in and I just went straight to the bottom. I had so much ammunition. All of us had a lot of ammunition on us. So it taken you right on the bottom and some of us got out of it and some of us didn't. I went over and laid on the bank all night long. And the next day they come down and what was wounded over there, they got us out and I was sick. And they take me back to the aid station. Fever was 105 and they kept me up there. They got the calm down and everything and they sent me back to the hospital in Italy. I stayed there about a week and come back to the company. And I went on the rest of the way with the company. It's just something else. I'll just tell you something else. It's just awful. The people here in Tallahassee, you don't even know what a war is. I mean, you see it on television and hear about it and everything. But people in Tallahassee don't even realize what a war is, the biggest majority of them. Because they ain't never had nothing to go through like this. It's hard to go up through some place and see people just actually starving to death, and it ain't nothing you can do about it and everything. And I know when we were in Germany, we weren't allowed to talk to them, weren't allowed to do nothing for a period of time. If you did, they'd court-martial you. If they caught you, they'd court-martial you, put you in the stockade, just like you do a regular prisoner over here. And finally, they got where they let us talk to them, and we dug these holes to put slop in. Well, we put it's sort of like just a hole to bury stuff in, like extract food and all like that. And I've seen little old kids, 5, 6, and 7, 10 years old, down in them holes, getting that stuff out and putting it in their little old can. They wouldn't let you give it to them, but it rocking around there about a month, I imagine, and they finally would let us, if we didn't eat what we had on our Mexican, we was allowed to give it to them and all like that. But that's something that's hard to stomach. You know, see a little 5 and 6 year old kid running around there starving to death and can't give him nothing to eat and he ain't got nothing to give it. And they won't let you give it to them if they had it. Of course, we didn't have all that much, but when they pull us back off in the front lines, that's more than when they pull you back off in the front lines and you sit around at your kitchen down, that biggest yard of what was left out of the company. Sometimes you go up there with a full company and you wouldn't come back. Well, I stayed, we made the invasion in southern France, stayed up 144 days. What little water I got in was what crossed the creek, take a bath and something like that there, and the old clothes, wore the old clothes, my old beard had done grow way out, I looked like a bear. And I got back off my bed. Well, they'd taken, boy'd shave me. He'd take a scissor and cut it just as close as he could cut it. Then he'd shave me, and I'd done him the same way. And that was a experience that it was real rough on me. It was when we went up through southern France.
You said you served under Patton and Eisenhower. You got split up and went into two different areas there.
They call it 5th Army, and the other one called it 7th Army. I believe the first one, when I went up through Africa and Italy, and there it was called the 7th. Further we got up the line, I believe it turned out to be the 5th. And that was when we had a different man was in charge of the whole thing. I hadn't never fallen right behind Patton, but I was in some places where Patton was going up through, and we were coming up behind him, like sweeping up behind him, getting the wounds and everything. Getting people, capturing people and sending them on back and everything like that there. That was more than what you call cleaning up behind Patton. Of course, Patton and them done the biggest majority of the fighting with them tanks and all like that there. But we have rode on back of tanks and go up through them and everything. I know you've seen it on television where these boys that get on the back end of these tanks and ride up through there, and then they'd shoot at them and all like that there, and the old guns and everything like that. I was over there one time in Rome Valley. We was in Rome Valley, and they had the whole division surrounded. The German people did, the German. And they didn't know it, and we knew it, but we were sitting down there in a place that, and they was all around us, and we went up on top of the hill over there. Well, when we got up on top of the hill, the Germans jumped out and got us. It was about 12 or 15 of us, and they taken, set up by about, 30 minutes, and they was going to take us down to that town that they were supposed to go to. But when we got down there to that town, the American soldiers and everything, Americans had done taken the town and everything. And they just turned around, handed us a gun, pulled off their helmets and throw them down and put on a little old cap that they wore. And they sung a song, Lily Marlene. And when they get captured and everything, that'd be the first thing they do. 1944, we were sitting on the bank of the Rhine River, and a drove of ducks come in there. And we're sitting out there in them pillbars. And we'd shoot at them ducks, they'd fly back over to the German side, and they'd shoot at them, they'd fly back. We played with them ducks all day Christmas Day. And after the next day, they had got some troops across the line and everything, and they'd come on down to where we could cross in. And they turned around after the war was over, and then they finally shipped me home. They brought me to Marseille, France, and I sat out there on the boat about a month and a half, something like that there, and then they turned around and put me on the boat, and I come back to landing in New York Harbor.
It had to be difficult the entire time. Was there a part where you certainly had to be several times when you thought you might not get out?
I've been in places, and this goes back to God Almighty. I've been in places, honest for God, I don't see how, a lot of people don't think it's a God Almighty, but I've been in places I don't see how in the world, if it hadn't been for God Almighty, I never would have come out of it. It's hard, I tell you, be honest, the truth, it's hard to be in places where you ain't got no say-so or nothing, you can't do nothing, and you have to depend on somebody else, and that's the one that I have learned to depend on, is God Almighty. This old bridge down here in Talis is pretty high off in the ground. But before I go back and do what I done here in Talis and over there and first one thing and the other, I'd go down there and jump off on that bridge and end it all.
Can you explain what it was like when you finally knew you were getting to come home?
Oh, it tickled me to death. I got out yonder in New York Harbor. And they taken us down there, it was about 12 o'clock at night, and fed us a steak supper. And the next morning they brought us out there and loaded us on the train and everything, and I happened to be one of them that got right next to the old engine that there, and the old fella, I reckon, rode it and everything and drove it and everything. I told him, I said, I'm headed to Alabama. How about blowing that horn as long as you can blow it? I said, you can blow it from here to where I'm going. He says, I'll certainly blow it. And I reckon when we pulled out of the station, he blowed it. When I got to Anniston, Alabama, he was still blowing that old horn. And I got up to Anniston, Alabama, and the 4th of November, I believe it was, and they take me up and run me through all different tests and everything. And I had one little thing wrong with me. Well, I had a lot of things wrong with me, but I had one little place it showed up real bad, and I had a cyst on the corner of my right eye. Bleeding to the right eye. No, the left eye. My left eye, and it swelled up big as my little finger, and it stuck out there like a knot on a tree. I could see it in my eye, glancing like that. They wanted to keep me up there for a while, and I told them, I said, no. I walked all over Europe, and I said, I've been walking distance of Taliesin now. And I said, if you don't let me go, I said, when I walk out that door down yonder, if I ain't got this, it's discharged, I said, y'all can keep it yourself. So I'm going to Taliesin, Alabama. And so they give me the discharge, and I walked out of there and called my mama. And mom and daddy, they met me in Opelika, the train station. When I got off the train station, I seen my mom and daddy standing out there, and they'd like to kill me, but they got me, and Uncle Fred come and got us in his car. I know it's been a rough, it was a rough 4 years of my life. Wasn't nobody younger when I went in there. When I come out, I wasn't nobody younger, but I seen all of it that I wanted to see.